Praise the Lord. Let's just stand and praise the Lord for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We lift up your name tonight. Lord, we pray that you have your way in this service. We pray that your spirit takes over this service tonight. Lord, move in our midst. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Please be seated. Brother Rutledge, every time we go off somewhere and sing, he says, sing Someone Cares. So I want to dedicate this to him. And I want to say this before I begin to sing it. Young people, if your name was to come up in the paper tomorrow and you saw your name and it said, this person commits suicide, the world really does not care. They're going to pick up that paper and they're going to say, now, isn't that terrible? And they're going to turn right over to Dear Abby. You don't mean anything to the world, and I want you to understand that now. But like the parable of the Good Samaritan, I think it was even more than a parable. It really told the heart of Jesus. He'll never forsake you. He loves you. He'll do anything that he can when you're down and out. You've always got hope in him. Believe me, Jesus cares. Thank you, Lord. Out of 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning at the 16th verse, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we had known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The other scripture that I have is from the 10th chapter of St. Mark. I'm not going to read it. You don't need to turn to it. It is simply Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. And most of you know the scripture. I don't want to use a lot of time in reading that. Brother Mark, would you ask the Lord's blessings on this word?
Lord Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
We pray, God, that
we need you tonight. We need you tonight, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord.
We know, God.
Hallelujah.
You are able.
Hallelujah.
Exceedingly above all that we ask
for
faith, according to your power,
we ask. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Please be seated.
Amen.
Amen. I say shout now. I mean, get with it.
Oh my.
All right. You know, it's good to be here with people that love the Lord.
Yeah.
It's always pleasant and comfortable when you're around people that truly love the Lord. I mean, to the point that we were willing to surrender to Him, to be baptized in His name, surrender to His plan. It's a wonderful thing to be with the people of God. It's with pleasure I tell you that I love you, all of you saints of the living God. As I read this scripture, I see that the word is given by Peter. He's talking to the people and he's saying that we were there on the mount. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration when the glory of God was shown and said a voice came from heaven. And he actually uses the words when he says that, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. But then he goes further and he says, but if you'll allow me, I want to show you a deeper revelation. And then he begins to tell him that if a person is blind or if a person has not light, then he has to depend on another source of light until it becomes day.
Amen.
I began to think about people that are possibly, well, let's say on a bar stool somewhere, and the world has taken its toll upon them. Their life has completely changed. All of the dreams of the past have become nightmares of the present. And we look at those people sometimes and we say in ourselves, well, thank God I'm not like that. Oh, that's terrible. But really, there's a heart in that person that needs to know about God. We need to reach that man and say, listen, you don't have the light, but if you'll let me be your light, I'll shine for you and I'll lead you. I'll help you in the dark places where the danger occurs. If you'll just let me lead you by the light, the revelation that God gave me, then we'll take you out of this place.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Shout. We'll take you out of this place.
Praise God.
Until you receive your own light, your own revelation.
Amen.
We were talking about softball a lot. So I want to ask you, how many of you ever played softball? All right. So I'm going to tell you a circumstance that I found myself in. I had fractured an ankle, so I couldn't play softball. So I officiated the softball game. All of my friends that were in the JCs, we used to play basketball together back in my high school coaching days. And we would play basketball together, and it was all the JCs in the town, the people that owned this little store and that little store and all of that. We all got to be real good friends, and I was the official, and this was the final game. This was the finals, Brother Samuel. Last game, the one that won this game won money and a trophy. The loser won a trophy. A lot rode on this game. So there I am on crutches with a broken ankle. I'm propped up on both my crutches standing by third base. The bases are not loaded. Excuse me. There's a man on second and a man on third. No one on first. This is the final out of the final inning. If this run scores, the game is tied. If this run does not score, the game is over. And my friends are the ones that are on those bases and at bat. So there I am leaning against third base. Everybody knew the rules of the game before they ever went out there. You knew some of the things that you can do and you cannot do. If you do, you're automatically out. Such things, I won't say out on this, but one thing, for instance, if a person throws a pitch too high, then you'll call it a ball because it was a bad pitch. It's too high. It's got too much of an arc on it. If he throws it with not enough arc, then it's the same story. But you know that when you go up there to play. So if you're the pitcher and you throw just a straight shot level at the bat, or you throw a little too fast, then you're going against the rules and it's a strike. In this particular incident, these guys knew the rules. You know, if you agree to something and you know the rules, you've got to abide by them.
Right.
Now, man on second, man on third, the guy hits the ball, hits it right over third base for a base hit. The man on third base comes in and scores. The man on second base comes running as hard as he can around third base and misses that base by 4 inches. And he knows that he's got to score. So he goes on. He glances at me because he knew he missed that base. But as soon as he glances at me, he goes on toward home because he knew it was too late and he can't turn back now. Lord, was I in a spot.
Your friend.
My friends, all these guys, leaning on those crutches. And I knew if I said he was safe, the stands were going to empty. Because they knew he missed that base. And I knew if I said he was out, every friend I had was going to turn against me. I'd never show my face in Coshatta, Louisiana again. So, if I were in church at that time, I would have done this. Now, what I did, I just sort of took a stroll down that third base line toward the outfield, and I was thinking to myself, oh, no, don't let them appeal that call. See, if they don't appeal the call, then the guy's safe. But if they appeal the call and say that guy missed, the one from third base, from second base missed third base coming to that base, if they appeal that call, then I've got to say either out or safe, because I know if he missed it, I've been watching. So what happens, I begin to walk down third baseline, and I'm just sort of thinking to myself, if I'd be in church, I'd be singing, "Why Me, Lord?" But I wasn't in church. I don't know what I was doing. I was whistling something, though. Boy, I was trying to get my mind. I said, oh, don't appeal that call. Don't appeal that call. Sure enough, the guy throws the ball to the pitcher. The pitcher does everything exactly like he's supposed to do. He knew the rules. He stepped back away from the pitcher's mound and turned and threw that ball to that third baseman, and that third baseman touched that bag and said, the man coming from third missed the base. And I said, he's out! Oh, Lord. I won't tell you, I got called more things than you could ever imagine. And the guy that ran the base knew he missed the base, and he came back to me and started hollering at me, and he said, you're blind! I said, well, I may be blind, but you're out. He knew the rules. And just because he didn't want to believe he was out, Didn't mean he wasn't out. He was out. He missed the base. He knew he missed the base. And there's nothing worse than a person that is blind and won't admit they're blind.
That's right.
That's it. There's none so blind as he that will not see. So the situation is simple. They've got to begin to understand that what is right, and what is truth, and there's not anything you can do about it. You've just got to line up to it. In the Scripture, we're talking about now some people that are blinded spiritually. People don't want to be blinded spiritually. You don't want to be blinded spiritually. You don't, but I'm telling you the truth. Some people are. Really, don't want to believe truth. Let me give you an example. And coming from a sports background, I'm picking it myself this time. So let's use athletics for an instance. And we'll say that a person has children that want to stay active in athletics. And you encourage that. And you say there's no harm in that. But then you've got a pastor that says, now watch it. And he preaches a sermon like leaning, because you've got that person leaning in the wrong direction. They're not going toward the church. They're not leaning toward righteousness. They're not leaning toward what it's going to take for them to make it to heaven. But they're leaning toward what's going to gradually take them away from the church. And that pastor's preaching his heart out. But then you say, well, a little, you know, even though the pastor said what he did, I don't think a little bit of competitive athletics is going to hurt the man. But that is blindness that won't accept the fact. That's like the man that didn't want to admit he was out. He knew he missed the base, he was out. I'm telling you tonight, there are people that are willfully blind, and there's nothing worse than a person that is willfully blind. I can use the same thing, worldliness. See, this is our rule book. We have to go by this. When I'm talking about salvation, I'm talking about repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. That's it. And people know that people will hear the truth, and it'll be preached to them, and preached to them, and preached to them, and preached to them, and they'll amen you, and they know that you're right, but then they just don't want to see that it's truth and walk away blind.
Amen.
Only willfully blind. The same with worldliness. People that would rather be worldly and know better, because God can't use a worldly church. He needs a separated church. He needs people that are dedicated to God. He needs people that will get up in the morning and say, now God, what would you have me do today? He needs people that will say, God, the way that I'm dressed, am I here to attract the opposite sex? Or am I trying to look godly to make people think of Christians when they look at me? A lot of folks fail right there. They get dressed in the morning and they want to know what's going to make the boys look. And the boys are thinking, now what's going to make the girls look? But what we need to be doing, people, is what's going to make a lost, sinful, blind world look at me. And that world is blind. That world is lost, and that world is in pain. That world is hurt, and that world is crying out for help. And that world needs to understand that if they'll let you be their light for just a little while, the day is coming.
Amen.
And that's exactly what we have here. It said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. People, I want to see the day dawn in a lot of people's lives. The only way we're going to ever see that is if we'll be the light that God has to shine in this corrupt world. Instead of looking at a person and saying, I'm glad I'm not like that, let's look at a person and think, what can we do to help this person get out of that old blindness that they're in? What is it that we can do that'll let them see that we've got light, that we've seen a revelation? What is it? You know, people look at us and they say, well, I don't understand. I don't see why you worship like you do. Well, you see, they don't have what we have. But if they'll just trust us, If they'll just let us do some leading for that blind soul of theirs, then they'll begin to see for themselves, because there's a day dawning in their lives someday. And if we'll help God just begin to reach that person and get them in a place where God can do a work,
hallelujah,
we can see churches grow. We can see God's plan work.
Amen.
Bartimaeus put a lot of trust in his cane. As a matter of fact, one day I came over here. All the lights were out. It was dark. I began to pray. And as I prayed, I closed my eyes and I said, God, I want to be led by your Spirit. I said, I want to be totally dependent upon you. See, that's the spirit we need. We need to be led, people. And we need to recognize the fact that some of us are blind. If Brother Rutledge is having to continue to tell you something over and over and over and over and over and over and you're not doing it, buddy, you are blind. You need to open your eyes. Walk through there and say, Lord, I want to put my total trust in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I fell over two chairs and a piano stool.
Yes. Yeah.
And I got up, closed my eyes again, started walking. Came to a door. The door was straight ahead of me, like maybe from here to that window right over there. I guess maybe 35 feet. Straight ahead. All I had to do, blind now, it's dark in there. I've got my eyes closed. I don't know why I closed my eyes. It was dark in there in the first place. But I closed them. And all I had to do was walk straight for that door. And I walked and I walked and I walked and I couldn't understand, where did the door go? I walked straight and began to make a turn, and before you know it, I was pointing to the wall just exactly opposite of the door. It's hard to walk with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
It sure is helpful to have some light.
That's right.
Yeah. We need to be the light of the world. He said, you are. He said, you're the light of the world.
Yeah.
In a world full of darkness that's groping around for truth, you're the light of the world. When a world is trying to find something that'll change their lives and take the misery out of their soul, you're the light of the world.
Amen.
When a man is walking down the street and he's so high on drugs that he can't keep his steps straight, you're the light of the world.
Yes.
When a man is walking down the street and he's so drunken on alcohol that he can't see but three of you, and there's only one of you, you're the light of the world. When a person is so bound by tobacco that they smoke one right after another, and the doctor keeps telling them you got to quit or you're going to die, and they say, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. There's somebody going to walk by one day with the Holy Ghost, and they're going to stand up and begin to testify and tell them how they used to be like that, and that they're now the light of the world to a lost world that needs to find God. And Bartimaeus was drunk. Drunk. Listen to that. Blind. Had my mind on that drunk guy. Bartimaeus was blind.
Good.
I had a new sermon. I'll tell you what. And he was groping around, trying to find his way. And depending upon his cane, that's all. When I see blind Bartimaeus, I understand. I know what he's talking about. I ran in the door out there one day doing that same thing, walking around trying to find my way, and I knew there was five steps to the door. So I went one, two, three, four, bang! Somebody left that door halfway open. Man, you can't do very well with your eyes closed. And blind Bartimaeus would get up during the day, and he would feel around and try to find his sandals and put them on and maybe feel down the inside of his foot, see if he had it straight so that, you know, you feel for the straight side and know if they're on the right feet. So, and he takes his old cane and he's feeling his way, trying to make sure that it doesn't fall. And he's totally dependent upon that cane.
Amen.
That cane is everything. It's his eyes, because he can't see. And without that cane, he falls in a hole, or Clyde comes riding up on his camel, or, You know, somebody walks out in front of a camel and it's hit and run, you know. He don't even know what happened. So he's totally dependent upon that cane. But I begin to see in that particular story that he has his mind made up that if he can keep using that cane, whatever he can use for his life until he can get to Jesus, he's going to throw that cane away because he knew that Jesus was able to take care of whatever the problem is. You got a problem, he's got an answer.
That's good.
And he gropes around and he said, if I just get over there, I know Jesus is coming by. And then he hears Jesus coming by and everybody all around him. And he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody, what are you, crazy? Blind Bartimaeus, sit down. He's too busy for you. You're just an old blind man. You're not any good. Kind of like you would think about the guy I was telling you about that's sitting on the stool and he's drunk and he's got all of his problems and he's thinking about committing suicide. And we might walk by and just say, boy, I'm glad I'm not like that. I don't ever want to have that spirit. I don't ever want to think that I've gotten so advanced in God that I'm willing to let something like that go by without saying something. That's one thing I appreciate about Brother Sam, Brother Mark. Well, I was in the prayer room one day. Brother Mark just walked by. It didn't mean a lot maybe, but he just went like that and walked by. My goodness, I won't tell you. I never forgot it, never will forget it, because that's his life reaching out to touch mine, because he knows I've got a soul. And he knows something, he felt something in his spirit that I needed some reassurance. And Brother Sam, give you the shirt off of his back. He's the only guy I know that reminds me of my brother. My brother, just like him. I mean, he's subject to do anything, but he'll give you the shirt off his back. And that's Sam. And that's Sam. And thank God. But blind Bartimaeus says, no, I need help. And he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they begin to push him back and they say, no. But he knows that he's blind. He knows that he needs help. He knows that he's not getting anywhere with a life like he's got it. He says one more time, Jesus, thou son of David, have. He don't know where he is. Maybe he's getting out of range and he's getting serious. And when we get that kind of serious, then we want to get a hold of God no matter where we are, whatever state we're in. You don't know how close, you don't know how far, because you've blinded yourself to something. But if you'll just remember, if you'll get it as loud as you can get it, God will hear you. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus walked over to him and he said, what do you need? I need my sight. He said, according to your faith, let it be. And old blind Bartimaeus began to see. And he looked at his old cane. He said, you helped me a lot for a while. I don't need you anymore, though. I can see for myself. You were my sight. You were the light that I needed. But I don't need you anymore, because there's a day dawning and I can see. And how many of us in our lives were lost, and I mean lost,
that's right,
and couldn't even recognize the fact, and we came across somebody somewhere that had the light, and we began to trust in their light, and then we get to a pastor like Brother Rutledge, and he begins to preach to us, and we find out that if we'll trust him, if we'll let him be our walking stick, if we'll let him be our light until we can see the light for ourselves, there's coming a day, one of these days, that I'm going to find for myself a revelation of a real God that's got the power to take the sickness out of my soul, that's got the power that he can take the corruption out of my system, the alcohol desire out of my heart, the tobacco out of my mind, and the lustful spirit out of my life. But there's none so blind as they that will not see. Jesus is just as real tonight as he was when Bartimaeus cried out to Him and said, "Help me to see." And your needs are just as real as His. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Oh, where I go,
I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go,
well, I'm gonna let it shine.
Everywhere I go,
hallelujah,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh,
let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Well, Jesus gave me a light.
Gave me a light.
I'm gonna let it shine.
We're going to gather around and have a prayer together in just a minute. But I'd like to say that we certainly appreciate this nice delegation from Hot Springs being with us. Also, Brother Mike Mahaney and Brother Jerry Goss and others that are visiting with us. Some of you girls, I don't know my name, but we're glad to have your faces again in the house of the Lord with us. And tomorrow's another day for the Lord. Amen. But tonight, you may need a touch of God in your life that you should not leave this building without receiving what God would have you have. Before we pray, I'd like to know the drivers of the Hot Springs group. I understand there's three cars. Who drove tonight? All right. All right. God bless you. I want to talk to you after the service, all three of you. I want to tell you to drive careful. Be good. Amen. All right, let's come forward. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary His way. Amalaya Jia Shalom Odoya. Sing it, everybody. Worship God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Sing it again, everybody. Thank God. Will I thank you.
little while. Love him.
Jesus.
Praise.